from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio
on WGR.
Sal Capaccio, now on the Wester Hotline. Oh, Sal, have you seen me wear my my backwards, upside down Bison's hat? I guess it's not backwards, it's just upside down. Have you seen this hat I have?
I think I may have seen that when I was at the station one time, but I thought I saw you, at Fisher, maybe.
Okay, the more people that I see wearing it, the more I feel justified in having it. Eric Wood is on the list, Post Malone is on the list, and now I'm looking at the TV right now. Aaron Judge is in on the upside down hat. He's got an upside down Bronx hat. It says Bronx.
But I believe I've seen Bills players wearing these caps.
All right. I'm willing to admit, as someone that has one of these hats, it's dumb. I know it's dumb. It really doesn't make any sense. I feel like people are just doing
I've never really understood it, but I just know it's kind of the thing now.
Yeah. I don't even know if there really is understanding it, right? It's just a thing people started doing, and you know how that works. It takes off. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. The Bills will be on their way to Pittsburgh today, right, Sal? And then joint practice tomorrow?
That is correct. And then basically probably like a walkthrough of some sort on Friday, and Saturday is the game.
Okay.
Saturday night.
All right. So joint practice tomorrow. We can get into that a little bit too. But let's start with, Sal, some of the roster moves and, Claypool, some of the stuff that we saw them do yesterday. And let's start right there, because I was following you along on Twitter with this and then read your article about it. That this is kind of new, right? How this works with Claypool, because they changed some of the IR rules?
No, it's not new how it works with him. There's a different rule, but he won't be impacted by the new rule. Okay? Glad you asked. Okay, so there is a new rule which is causing confusion on the Claypool situation. He is not impacted by the new rule. The new rule is, what used to happen, Joe, is up until this year, you had to make the 53-man roster before and then if you get put on IR, if you got put on IR before the 53-man roster, you're out for the season, regardless. Doesn't matter. Could be the day before. It could be hours before the 53-man roster. If you're placed on IR before the final roster, you're out for the season. So what teams would do is, remember last year they did this with Justin Shorter. Say, all right, well, we really want to keep him around. We don't want him to miss the season, so we got to get him on the 53-man roster. But how do we do that? Well, okay, Reed Ferguson, we're going to release you for one day. So we can put Justin Shorter on the team, and then the next day we'll resign you and put Justin Shorter on IR, right? Like, that's what they would do. This year, you get two players where you don't need to do that with, which is on the last day of cuts, the very final day, you could say these two players are going to IR and they can come back in 4 weeks. So you don't have to like get them on the 53, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So Chase Claypool was placed on IR yesterday along with Shane Buechele. Some people interpreted that as meaning, oh, they can use him as one of those two people. No, they can't. He's not placed on IR on the final day of cuts. It's got to be the final day of cuts. So being placed on IR yesterday, Joe, effectively ends his season. Okay? He is out for the year. However, this part has been always true. Mm-hmm. What they can do is within the next 7 days, the Bills and Claypool and his representatives can come to an injury settlement agreement, which is basically an agreement on how long the injury would actually keep him out for, and they pay him for that many weeks. They would release him with that injury settlement. Let's say it's 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. They pay him for those 4 weeks, and then immediately he'd become a free agent, can sign with anyone, or could re-sign with the Bills after that amount of weeks plus 3 more weeks.
Okay. Is it weird at all, Sal, how this unfolded? Because you correct me if I'm wrong, hadn't he been day-to-day the whole time since he had been injured, but he never came back, right? So it ended up being week to week, even though maybe they never called it that.
I mean, only weird from that sense of the terminology. Like, you never know exactly, you know, we don't know the exact injury and the nature. Maybe they felt it wasn't as severe, or maybe they kind of knew it'd be a little while. I think more than anything, Joe, what happened here was after Saturday, they looked at their roster and said, we got to do something at receiver. He's not ready. We need the roster spot. Like, that's what probably happened here.
Yeah.
Like, how long can we keep him around? How long can we keep people around? They went and signed two wide receivers, right? Whatever they didn't like at wide receiver on Saturday, they brought in two guys. Mm-hmm. And because of that, the guy's got to play. I mean, if you don't have Chase Claypool and you keep going forward here through the preseason, now either you got to start giving reps probably to guys maybe in preseason games you don't want to give reps to because, you know, you're going to be on the team. And then, you know, you're just kind of playing with a numbers game. So obviously they felt that it wasn't worth it to have him stick on IR and stick on the team and keep a roster spot, whereas they just needed to kind of move on now, take the roster spot, give it to someone else, and they've seen what they needed to see. And yeah, eventually they could bring him back if they give him an injury settlement. The other option is, Joe, they could keep him on injury reserve all year. He stays on the Bills. He just doesn't play until next year, and then they decide if they want to re-sign him at the end of the year.
Yeah. I think I heard you say this yesterday with Shopin the Bulldog, that they gave his number out already. So I don't know, like, does that...
Yes.
That could be meaningful, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be. I mean, we've seen... I mean, Mitch Trubisky is back on the Bills right now with a different number than he wore the first time. I know he was on a different team in between, but, you know, if they get to this injury settlement path and maybe he comes back later, you know, he could just have a different number.
That's correct. But I do think it matters a little bit to think about the fact that the day that they put him on IR, they do give away his number to a new player. It kind of, to me, is a signal that, you know, they're just moving on from him. But sure, I mean, anything could happen, and they just give him a new number, right? It's not like he's a 10-year established vet that's kind of had that number for many years. You know, he's a guy that they signed 2 months ago to come to OTAs. So at the end of the day, I would say that Bills fans just kind of have to kind of forget about Chase Claypool here and look at the roster and not think about him coming back or being on the team, because it's going to be a while even if that were to happen.
Yeah. So how do you look at their receiver room right now, the totality of it, including the two that they just signed, Damir Bird and Deion Kane? No one is questioning the top four right now is the top four, Samuel, Shakir, Coleman, and Hollins, not necessarily in that order. And then, I don't know, is it... How would you feel like you handicap it? Is it kind of MVS, Shavers, Hamler, or maybe, I don't know, would you say it's MVS and Shavers and then guys fighting for return jobs?
Probably. Listen, I think after what I saw, you based on reps, you based on how they were treated and handled, I guess, on Saturday, in no particular order, Coleman, Shakir, Samuel, Hollins, they're your top four. I think from there, there's a separation. I still think they believe in Marquez Valdez-Scantling and think that he offers something that they don't really have. He's got that Super Bowl pedigree. He's made big catches in big games. I know he's had drops. He had one on Saturday, too, and that hurts him. He's got some speed. But it's all notable they brought in a couple guys that have speed, Damir Byrd and Deion Kane, guys that also return men. What does that mean for KJ Hamler, who was on the field on Saturday? I don't know. I think that kind of doesn't look great for him. I think Tyrell Shavers is probably 5 or 6. As of right now, to me, I would put Shavers and MVS in. There'd be a separation after the 4, then there'd be 2 guys, and then a separation. But those 2 guys could go down more than up, right? They're not going to go up, I don't think.
Sure.
But I do think they could be caught by others. You know, I wonder what we see here this week. Does Andy Isabella get a little more runway here? Justin Shorter, he has been injured, but we'll see if that happens.
Yeah.
And then Byrd and Kane have to factor in. Do they get chances to return? And if they do, that's significant. If you see them returning Saturday, especially early in the game, that means they're getting a legitimate look here at that.
Right. And you've talked about this too, that the numbers at receiver could be different than past years because of kickoff changes. And also, like, a returner is interesting for the rest of the preseason, Sal. And Daquan Hardy, I know, has factored into that as well. I don't know, maybe Ty Johnson would at kick returner, and we just haven't seen it, right? Because he just returned, what was it, yesterday or the day before?
He just returned 2 days ago.
Okay.
But you're right. I think that he factors in the kick return competition here. Maybe not as much the punt return. But, you know, and Ty is probably someone who makes the roster anyway, I think. You're probably looking at that. You know, you probably keep 3 running backs on the roster, Cook, Johnson, and Davis. So he doesn't have to kind of, you know, you don't have to work around the numbers there with that.
Right.
But I do think they're looking still for a solid punt return man, and I wonder how that shakes out on Saturday.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester hotline as the Bills making some changes to the bottom end of their receiver room yesterday. All right, Sal, what about Matt Milano? Where do we stand currently with his health, and what happened yesterday with Milano at practice?
Well, he was doing a tackling drill with the bags, I believe. So I was on the field watching the offense. This happened on the field with the defense. So I didn't see it happen, but I was told by other media when I went over there. Then Alex Brasky, after practice, Batavia put some video out so you could see that. And when I went over there, they were talking about it, and I looked and I saw Matt. So they told me that, you know, he was doing a tackling drill. And he went to trainers, and they were looking at his left arm. They're flexing it out a little bit, and he was doing some exercises, talking with them. And then from there, he just was shut down the rest of practice, essentially. Now, excuse me, I saw him. I kept eyes on him as much as I could on the sidelines. He never went back into practice at all, but he never went into the locker room at all with trainers. He, you know, was kind of on the sidelines. He was, you know, talking with people here and there. Matt's a guy with a few words anyway, right? So it's not like he was running up and down the field talking with people left and right, but, you know, he was interacting a little bit with some teammates, some coaches. And then after practice, I watched him a little bit, and it looked like he kind of came out to do some stretching with the rest of the team. I went inside of the field house, and as I watched the team come in, he ran in with the rest of the team, jogged in, walked in, whatever. He was coming in with the rest of the team. He didn't come in early. He didn't come in late.
Okay.
I don't know what all this means. I mean, look, it's where is he health-wise? I think he's, you know, we've seen him here get some vet rest days. He didn't play on Saturday. Sean McDermott said kind of medically it's been part of the plan. That's part of the leg, obviously. I think the team is very confident leg-wise that he's their starting linebacker week one, their Will linebacker. They're just taking it exactly how they need to lead up to that point with a guy coming off his injury at 30 years old. This changes the equation, possibly. It could be something very minor. It could be something very significant. We don't know. These are always tough to gauge. Look, people have asked me, what does it mean that, you know, he was doing push-ups with the trainer or he was attempting to do? Well, I mean, that's obviously encouraging, but, you know, how many did he do? I don't know. What was the result of that? I'm not involved in those conversations. People say, or ask, like, well, does it matter that he didn't go to the locker room? Sure, that's encouraging to me. But, I mean, if it's something significant on a on some sort of, you know, arm injury, it could also be, hey, there's nothing we can do today or now.
Right.
So after practice, we'll look at it, right? That could also be happening. So we don't have any information yet. It's obviously a big, big blow if Matt Milano misses any time because of all the work that he put in and the preparation they put in to have him as their starting Will linebacker. But let's hope that it's something minor and doesn't cause him to miss much time, if any at all.
Yeah. When would we get information? They're not talking today on a travel day, right? Would it be tomorrow?
You know, Bobby Babich does speak today, but he wouldn't give that information.
Right.
That's Sean McDermott. You know, now you could get a report today at some point. We could find out.
Sure.
It is still training camp and preseason, so sometimes we do get those injury reports the next day, because even though Sean isn't talking, tomorrow Sean will talk ahead of the joint practice against the Steelers. So I would say maybe today we'll hear something somehow, some way. If not, then we'll probably get more from McDermott tomorrow.
On that position, Sal, we have not talked a lot about linebacker other than kind of Milano, how he looks coming back from his knee injury last year, leg injury last year. What have you seen, if anything, the likes behind him? Because if he, you know, like if they're going to need to reach into their depth at any point during the season, like the first name I think of when thinking of like who's behind Milano is Dorian Williams. I mean, he flies around. He's kind of exciting to watch. But a problem last year was, you know, that he would fly around almost too much. So Williams, yeah. Specter, the rookies, like how does that whole room look to you, and what has Williams looked like to you throughout camp so far?
I think Dorian's done a better job of slowing things down a little bit, because I agree with you. I think that he has played too fast at times. He looks, he sees, he just goes and gets ball, right, which is great. But then he gets caught out of position, and he's taking, you know, angles they shouldn't take. And teams can use those things against you. Teams watch the game plan. But he's been the primary backup to Matt Milano at will linebacker. Baylen Specter has been the primary backup to Terrell Bernard at middle linebacker. They're giving him, actually, I watch, you know, when they do 2-minute drills and things like that, sometimes he goes in because he's got to call the signals. It's good work for him to get in there. behind them, Nicholas Morrow is very flexible. He played for the Eagles last year. You know, Eagles fans will say, oh, it didn't go very, very well. He's a backup linebacker, though, who can play in both positions. He actually had over 100 tackles a couple years ago with the Bears. Not necessarily a guy you want starting 17 games, but a guy that's seen football, and he's been around it. I think they really like Eddie Ulofosio. He's a draft pick for them. I think he's in the mold of a really physical type of guy, like a Dorian Williams, who can kind of fly to the ball, do a lot of different things. Deion Jones is on the team. He is more, to me, of a pass situation linebacker. He's a former Pro Bowler. He's got 13 interceptions in his career at linebacker. Like, that's more of a guy you put in, you know, passing situations. But do we even have to go down that far in the depth chart? And of course, I don't want to leave out Joey Andreessen, who I love the fact that he's a local story, local product, Lancaster High School. He's actually calling the defense with the third team, you know, on Saturday, which is really cool. He made a couple plays. But how far down do you want to go down the depth chart? You know, they had to last year, obviously, bringing back AJ Klein. What I've seen from Dorian Williams, though, if he has to play, he's a guy that still has a learning curve here. He has to understand, you know, where to be, when to be there, how to get there properly. Those are things that, but I love the fact that he just goes 100 miles an hour. He just needs to kind of slow it down a little bit and kind of let the game play and let the game come to him at times. The big thing for me with the drop off too, it's obviously talent, right? I mean, Milano is a special talent, but a real big thing to me, if you miss Matt Milano for any time, it's the communication and the complementary way you work with Terrell Bernard. Bernard and Milano together are, to me, just maybe the best linebacking duo in the league, you know, close to it. Individually, they're both great. But together, I think they work and complement each other so well, Joe. I think that's what it is. You would have Williams and Bernard, who did work together last year. I know Dodson came in mostly, and I get that.
Yeah.
But at least you have a little bit there. Milano and Bernard, though, they've been together for 3 years now. Well, 2 years plus now, remember, even though Bernard didn't start that first year. So that's the kind of thing you're losing there.
Yeah, it's almost like Milano and Edmonds had this, right, for years. Like, they were both relatively, I think Milano maybe missed a couple games a few seasons ago, but neither Edmonds or Milano missed, like, huge, huge chunks of time. Like, they were next to each other for years. And it's almost, I haven't never thought about it this way, Sal. It's almost more impressive that Bernard had the season he did, given like how many different people were standing next to him. Like, it was Dodson a lot, but remember, like, they would mix Poyer in down there, and they had mixed Williams in when there were injuries. So Bernard having the season he did with like 3-4 different partners next to him almost makes his first starting season even more impressive.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Bernard is a really, really talented, good linebacker. You know, he plays the game. He's smart. He's super physical. Him and Milano are just the perfect complements for each other, really, what they can do. And, you know, Joe, I think that because you have to remember, too, their defensive coordinator now is a guy who coached them in that position, who understands them, what they can do, what they bring to the table, you know, in Bobby Babich. And I think if you go from Milano to Williams, it also takes some off of the options off the plate of what he can do, what Bobby Babich can possibly do with that group. You know, it doesn't mean you have to just play everything super conservative and close to the vest with Dorian Williams, but I think you have a lot more that you at your disposal if you have a healthy Milano and a healthy Bernard.
You traveling down to Pittsburgh today also?
Yes, I'll be going down there as well. And then, you know, tomorrow will be the practice, so... You know, I'll be on Extra Point Show today for a little while with the guys, and then I got to scoot to the airport and get down there and, you know, get everything arranged for this weekend.
Flying down.
I don't know. I travel with the team with the radio broadcast.
Right, right.
So I'll be, yeah, I know, it's right. It's a drive, too. I know a lot of the media's driving. There were some options there, too, because of the day. Some people are choosing to do that as well. Looked into that. It's just, logistically, this is the better option for me. I'm currently looking at weather. It's like 4 days there. Usually I worry about like 24 hours in a city. Now I'm looking at 4 days, you know, what it's going to be tomorrow at the practice. And then, Joe, Paul Skeens is pitching Friday night, I believe.
Ooh, okay. That stadium, that pitcher, like that might be one of the best day trip, you know, baseball trips you could do right now, I feel like. And he's pitching when? Friday?
Friday night while we are there. And have kind of an off night, basically. You know, I mean, like,
okay,
from football activities.
Yeah, I love Pittsburgh. I've been a couple times.
It's a really cool city. Yeah,
it's a super cool city. Right, it's unique, right? Because like you got the hill on one side and the waters all around you and all the bridges. Are the Pirates good this year? No, they're not good this year. Should I ever ask if the
early
Pirates
in the year,
are good?
What are they now?
Okay, you know why? Okay, right. I just looked and like, oh, they're in last place. That's what the Pirates normally are, but they've lost 9 of their last 10. So maybe that's more recent that they've fallen down like that. All right, Pittsburgh. Bills and Steelers.
Do you remember Three River Stadium at all?
I do not remember Three River Stadium. No. That would have been...
Yeah, I was actually just looking at this today because I was just kind of thinking about, you know, that stadium where it is. And I was like, oh, where's Three River Stadium?
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Buddy Tim Benz, as you know, he works in Pittsburgh. We've had him on before, and I was with Tim a couple years ago. We were there, and he's like, that's where Three River Stadium used to be. It's not too far away.
Yeah.
But I was looking today, actually, this morning. Three River Stadium was built in 1970, and the last season there was 2000. It lasted only 30 years. You think about that, right?
Yeah.
And it was like kind of a historic stadium for Super Bowls and, AFC Championships, and they won Super Bowls there with them, and the Pirates played there for a long time, and it's a historic, it lasted only 30 years. You think about this stadium now, the Bills, they're going to be moving into their new stadium. It'll be 52 years they played.
Yeah. It is 52 years. When you see, this happening a lot. Nashville, the Titans are getting a new stadium, and their current one was built in, I think, 97. And the Browns are looking into a new one, and that stadium on the water is maybe similar 96, timeline.
99,
yeah. Sounds right. So, it depends. All right, Soldier Field is still there, and that's 100 years old, so the timeline can change. But real quick, before you go, when was the last Bills joint practice? This is their first one, not since McDermott's been here, right?
2019.
It was
in Carolina.
In Carolina. They've not done one here in a long time,
No. Last one here was against the Cleveland Browns Rex era, so it was either 15, or was it Marone? But it was somewhere in there. I can't remember exact year.
Gotcha. All right, Bills and Steelers will have their joint practice tomorrow. Team heads down today, preseason on Saturday. Sal will be on with the Extra Point Show coming up at 10 o'clock. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Any of those details that you want from practice yesterday, Sal's got them on our website, WGR550.com. Time out here. John, if you're on hold, I want to get to your call when we come back on the Upside Down Hats. I'm leading the charge on Upside Down Hats. On Milano, quickly when we return, his injury, and we don't really have much details. We just kind of went through it on the severity. But, man, if they can't keep him on the field this year, that could be a big problem. The Bills need stars, and he is one of the few they still have on the roster. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jody Biasi. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. This is WGR.
Yeah, I mean, we have to have urgency in this building. That's no doubt about it. I think guys are feeling that urgency now, just understanding, going back, looking on film, and it wasn't all bad on film. Obviously, the score is the score. It's preseason, but our standard shouldn't be conditioned by the result of what's going on. We have to continue to uphold what we do, and that's playoff caliber, and that's what Coach McDermott has taught to this building the last 8 years that he's been here. We have to uphold that. So it takes every single one of us. The leaders in our rooms are speaking up more, and, we'll be ready to go in the next one.
That's Bills quarterback Josh Allen. Playoff caliber. I don't know why this just triggered this thought in my head. Jeremy and Joe, Jody Biasi, Marcus Mosher coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get some on the Cowboys, all the drama that's going on there. And a little on Ben DiNucci, the new Bills backup quarterback. Allen there and the idea of playoff caliber, which the Bills have been, talking about for years. Allen is going to go down as an all-time great quarterback, right? Right? Barring something unforeseen, he's going to be one of the greats. Even if he doesn't win, he'll still be one of the greats.
Is he going to be top 10?
Is he going to be top 10? Yes. Yes. My gut says yes.
Is top 5 too much?
No.
No?
I mean, that's not as sure a thing for me, but...
It's possible.
I mean, what's the Mount Rushmore right now? It's Brady, it's Mahomes, it's Montana, and it's... I don't know. Is it Unitas? Give some respect to the old guard, Unitas. Elway. Why can't he be Elway? Why can't he be in that territory? Why can't... Jeremy yesterday compared him to Favre. Why can't he be in the Favre territory at minimum? He's going to have to win multiple Super Bowls to join the likes of Mahomes, Montana, and Brady. But is he as good as them? I mean, I kind of think so. Peyton Manning. Sure, he can be near there. But, like, look at all those names. All those quarterbacks. The Bills missing the playoffs. Like, that's a thought. That's come up. They're not, like, this overwhelming favorite to make the playoffs. They are favored to make the playoffs. But, you know, we're wondering maybe a little bit. The division is hard, and it's a transition year, and no Diggs. What are they going to look like at wide receiver? Joe Brady, first full year as the Bills play caller. We don't even know how that's going to look. Is the defense going to be as good as it always has been? Like, there's questions everywhere. But one thing that makes me believe they're still going to find their way to at least making the playoffs, especially now with seven teams, is how many times can you find a all-time great quarterback missing the playoffs entirely? How many times has it happened? How many times did Peyton Manning miss the playoffs? You know, after his rookie year, how many times did he miss the playoffs? And Brady, we know, Brady not only never missed the playoffs, Brady never, well, I guess this would be the same thing, Brady never took a snap in the National Football League in like 25 years or whatever it was, where his team was eliminated from playoff contention. He never missed the playoffs. Except the year where he got hurt in week one and then they missed, which doesn't count for him. Manning. How many times did the Colts miss the playoffs with Peyton Manning? Did they ever miss it after his first year, his rookie year? 2001, they were 6-10. Is that it? Okay, so they missed it 1 year in his third season. Okay, so he never really missed. Did, like, how Brady never missed? Did Roethlisberger ever miss? Let's see. Roethlisberger takes over in 2005. 2004, excuse me, they go 15-1, then they win the Super Bowl, then they go 8-8 and miss. Okay, and then a few years later, there's a 9-7. So like two, three times for Roethlisberger before the end, did they miss? Rivers missed a couple times. Allen, I like to put above that, though. What about Breeze? Breeze missed a bunch. All right, so it does happen. Depends what level of all-time great you are, I guess. Like, the true greats, the greatest of all times, they don't miss. They will their team in if they have to. And I tend to think, like, I don't know, to go down, like, the all-time great conversation can be treacherous and dangerous. You get lost in that, you know, black hole for months. But I don't know. I tend to think he's, I know he doesn't want, he doesn't have the hardware, but I watch Allen play football and think he's a better quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger was, or than Phillip Rivers was, or than Drew Brees was. You know, the second tier franchise quarterbacks during the Brady Manning era. Tough to compare, I know, but like, I tend to put him above that. Because I still think he'll get his hardware, eventually. I give him the benefit of the doubt on that front. So, Will they miss the playoffs? Like, it would be a lot for me for the Bills to miss the playoffs. I don't think the roster is that different. And they won the division last year. They won 11 games. They still found their way to that. And how different is it really? They had a middle portion of the year last year where the defense stunk. They had a first half of the year where the offense was turning the ball over, and we just all knew it wasn't right. And remember, there were EPA per play stats, if you took out garbage time, where the Bills were like the 25th best passing offense in the league under Ken Dorsey. And then after that, Joe Brady takes over. They start running the ball. They still find their way to win, but defensively, it had improved. So like last year, it was up and down. But they found their way to 11 wins. Felt like everything that could have gone wrong went wrong last year. And they still won the division. And is the team worse? I made this point a bunch that they aren't missing, to me, anybody from the playoff game against Kansas City. They don't have Poyer and Hyde, but they were average old safeties at that point. They don't have Diggs, but Diggs did not play well in that game at all. 8 targets, 21 yards, a fumble, and a big drop. Gabe Davis didn't play in that game. Tre'Davious White didn't play in that game. The big names that left didn't play in that game at their full force. And they lost that game by 3. And who knows? Would they have beaten the Ravens? They would have been an underdog. I can easily get to, even with the monster question mark at wide receiver, which is a big deal to me, I still can get to, they have Josh Allen, they're going to be fine, they're going to at least be a playoff team. But again, I don't know, like Pittsburgh maybe never thought with Roethlisberger they'd ever miss the playoffs, and there were a couple times where they did. The Saints won the Super Bowl with Drew Brees and probably thought, oh, we'll never miss the playoffs again as long as he's our quarterback. And they had like 3 straight 7-win seasons in a row. So it can happen, but I don't know. I tend to think Allen's a little better than that. Let's go to Nick in Buffalo, who's got a thought on this. What's up, Nick?
Hey, yeah, first of all, great point on that. I was shocked when I was looking at the players that hit free agency, Poyer being one of them. And he was, like, in the honorable mention section of top safeties available. So we valued him a lot here, but a lot of these guys, like you said, were not providing much down the stretch. They were great for the team, but the one thing that triggered me, and I wasn't sure if you're going down this route, when he said playoff caliber, when McDermott came in and we missed the playoffs 17 years in a row, playoff caliber, like, we needed to get to that level. But now when I hear that, I'm like, oh, like, you know, we've gotten to the playoffs now. Like, we need to be like Super Bowl caliber. Like, what do we need to do to get that level of consistency where we're putting out the same? And obviously, the NFL is tough. It's a week by week league, but we're putting out consistently great effort and great execution every single week. And I feel like that's what a lot of these teams do, specifically in the playoffs. And it's interesting to say like where Allen fits in, because you know Allen's not the reason we lost some of these playoff games. He's been lights out. But you know, a guy like Eli Manning, where did he have a career that Allen has? I mean, he was very good. I don't think he's as good as Allen, but he has 2 Super Bowl rings, and he found a way to have these unbelievable stretches, beating Brady twice in the Super Bowl, where Allen hasn't been able to get past Mahomes. So it is. I mean, you can go down a rabbit hole all day, but I just thought it was a really interesting thought. So thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Nick. They did. I don't think this is really that important. They took the Lombardi Trophy down in the fieldhouse. This year, again, I don't think it's a big deal. I think they only had it up last year.
Superstitious?
Superstitious, or I don't know, do they not want to set expectations too high, or they really just didn't think about it that much? That's probably the answer, but yeah, are they a return to playoff caliber instead of Super Bowl caliber this year? Like, I'm not lowering my expectations that much. I still think this team's going to make the playoffs and is still a threat to win the Super Bowl. Most of that is confidence in Josh Allen. All right, John in Dallas in the Upside Down Hats. What's up, John?
Hey, good morning, guys. Out getting a little walk in here in Dallas. Sports business exec. I listened to you guys. Heard you talking about the Upside Down Hat. So when you get Ben DiNucci on the podium there, he's an investor in that company. It's called True Brands. So kind of started here in Dallas. I think Dak Prescott was the first guy who showed up wearing it, and now it's just kind of snowballed. So take a look, talk to Ben, and, you know, they've kind of multiplied their business pretty significantly, but it's kind of a cool little trend going on right now.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate the insight.
Take care, guys.
You too. Stay cool in Dallas. I think it's been really hot down there. All right. Ben DiNucci. Look at that. We got a guy in town now. Well, actually, they're leaving for Pittsburgh in a couple hours. But we got a Bill who's on the upside-down hat train. Let's go. Keep it rolling. That's the one. That's the original one. The Dallas one, that's the one I saw Post Malone wearing. That's when I saw it the first time. He said Dak wore it the first time. Upside-down hats. What will we come up with next? Just reverse hats?
The logo's on the back of the hat. There's nothing on the front.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we'll come up with some dumb trend next time. I think they look cool. 803-0550 is the phone number. All right, on the idea of playoff caliber this year, like, I don't know, anyone really worried about the Bills missing the playoffs? There has to be some. I mean, there's been a lot of change. I tend to end up in a similar place to where they've been, which is this team is the favorite to win the division. I would pick them to win the division. I would pick them to make the playoffs. And I'd probably pick them to lose to Kansas City or Cincinnati in the second or third week of the playoffs. I kind of think they're the same thing. 803-0550 is the phone number. Marcus Mosher coming up at 8, speaking of Dallas, on the Cowboys. And he's also the host of Locked On Dynasty, so might have to get a little fantasy in as well. That's coming up here in WGR.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave the metaphors to you guys.
Thanks.
All right, but what is a metaphor?
What's that?
What is a metaphor? Like, what's the official definition of metaphor?
A metaphor is like using something as comparison as like an example.
Right? Okay. All right. I got it.
Dennis Allen, that's the coach of the Saints. He doesn't know what metaphor means. Dennis Allen, by the way, it's Jeremy and Joe. We'll get to Marcus Mosher coming up. Get your phone calls, too. Dennis Allen, is that the least inspiring coach in the league? Who would you less rather have as your head coach right now than Dennis Allen? Isn't he just new Dick Geron? He's just kind of there. Not terrible. Never going to be great. What does he really do? How did he get the job even? He got the job, what, because he was like Sean Payton's right-hand man forever?
He was the interim when for a while, right?
No, he just got the job last year. Toward 2022.
I thought he was the interim first and then got the job.
No. No, Payton left, remember, and I think he's Payton's hand-picked replacement because he was his right-hand man forever. 7 wins, then 9 wins. I mean, that's just not inspiring at all. Him and Derek Carr, it's the least interesting team in the league. Quick phone call, Craig in Rochester. What's up, Craig?
Hey, guys. Discussion. I just wanted to make a point. I think the odds of great quarterbacks these days missing, it's not going to be very high anymore because that extra wild card spot, it gives even more variance at this point for a good quarterback to have an off season, his team to have an off year and still make it in. Brady, when he won with the Bucs, they weren't even the division winner. They ended up being a wild card team that year. They got better later on, obviously, but I just think, that extra spot, basically, it gives, you could have not the best year for a team with a good quarterback, and all of a sudden they get in and get hot. I wouldn't be surprised with the Bills if they win a Super Bowl with Allen and they don't even win a division. It ends up being a wild card team because a lot of times your best team doesn't necessarily win a title. Thanks, 07 Pats.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Craig. That is how we can get to this a little bit later on. How important the division is to that mindset of, hey, just get in, Allen gets hot, and let's go. Which, by the way, Allen has gotten hot in the playoffs before, and they haven't won. It takes all-time collapses and chokes, though, when he's playing that well to not get in. Just get in and let Allen get hot. You might need to win the division for that, though, because it's why it's so rare for teams to win the Super Bowl from wild card positions. Like, the Giants have done it, and there aren't many others. Because you got to go on the road 3 times to get to the Super Bowl, in most cases. And what's your road schedule along the way? You got to play the Chiefs at Arrowhead again, probably. I mean, almost undoubtedly. I mean, you might even open at Arrowhead. That would be possible. That's what happened to the second place AFC's team last year. The Dolphins made the playoffs, didn't win the division. What was their gift? Okay, go to Arrowhead. Good luck. And then what do you do? Imagine finally beating the Chiefs and it's in the first round. I mean, almost torturous. Because then what do you got to do? Then you got to go to Baltimore. You got to go to Cincinnati. One of those two. And then you take on who's left after that. Maybe you're going to Miami or the Jets. I mean, at that point, you wouldn't be... Well, I guess if they're in the AFC Championship game, then you should be more worried than normal. It's just, it's tough. The division is important because it avoids road games, 3 in a row, tough teams. You might need that free win. You might need the bye, or you might need to get to play a Mason Rudolph again while Allen's getting hot. Marcus Mosher, Locked On Cowboys, Locked On Dynasty as well when we come back. Stay tuned. Joe Marino's coming up at 8:30. We'll get back into some hardcore Bills training camp questions and preseason questions with Joe at 8:30. Loaded Hour coming up here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dennis Allen, by the way. It's Jeremy and Joe. We'll get to Marcus Mosher coming up. Get your phone calls, too. Dennis Allen, is that the least inspiring coach in the league? Who would you less rather have as your head coach right now than Dennis Allen? Isn't he just new Dick Geron? He's just kind of there. Not terrible. Never going to be great. What does he really do? How did he get the job even? He got the job, what, because he was like Sean Payton's right-hand man forever?
He was the interim when, for a while, right?
No, he just got the job last year. Toward 2022.
I thought he was the interim first and then got the job.
No, Payton left, remember, and I think he's Payton's hand-picked replacement because he was his right-hand man forever. 7 wins, then 9 wins. I mean, that's just not inspiring at all. Him and Derek Carr, it's the least interesting team in the league. Quick phone call, Craig in Rochester. What's up, Craig?
Hey, guys. Discussion. I just wanted to make a point. I think the odds of great quarterbacks these days missing, it's not going to be very high anymore, because that extra wild card spot, it gives even more variance at this point for a good quarterback to have an off season, his team to have an off year and still make it in. Brady, when he won with the Bucs, they weren't even the division winner. They ended up being a wild card team that year. They got better later on, obviously, but I just think, that extra spot, basically, it gives, you could have not the best year for a team with a good quarterback, and all of a sudden they get in and get hot. I wouldn't be surprised with the Bills if they win a Super Bowl with Allen and they don't even win a division. It ends up being a wild card team, because a lot of times your best team doesn't necessarily win a title. Thanks, 07 Pats.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Craig. That is how we can get to this a little bit later on. How important the division is to that mindset of, hey, just get in, Allen gets hot, and let's go. Which, by the way, Allen has gotten hot in the playoffs before, and they haven't won. It takes all-time collapses and chokes, though, when he's playing that well to not get in. Just get in and let Allen get hot. You might need to win the division for that, though, because it's why it's so rare for teams to win the Super Bowl from wild card positions. Like, the Giants have done it, and there aren't many others, because you got to go on the road three times to get to the Super Bowl in most cases. And what's your road schedule along the way? You got to play the Chiefs at Arrowhead again, probably. I mean, almost undoubtedly. I mean, you might even open at Arrowhead. That would be possible. That's what happened to the second place AFC's team last year. The Dolphins made the playoffs, didn't win the division. What was their gift? Okay, go to Arrowhead. Good luck. And then what do you do? Imagine finally beating the Chiefs and it's in the first round. That'd be almost torturous. Because then what do you got to do? Then you got to go to Baltimore. You got to go to Cincinnati. One of those two. And then you take on who's left after that. Maybe you're going to Miami or the Jets. I mean, at that point, you wouldn't be... Well, I guess if they're in the AFC Championship game, then you should be more worried than normal. It's just, it's tough. The division is important because it avoids road games, three in a row, tough teams. You might need that free win. You might need the bye, or you might need to get to play a Mason Rudolph again while Allen's getting hot. Marcus Mosher, Locked On Cowboys, Locked On Dynasty as well when we come back. Stay tuned. Joe Marino's coming up at 8:30. We'll get back into some hardcore Bills training camp questions and preseason questions with Joe at 8:30. Loaded Hour coming up here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.